But in my head, when I see workforce in road, is there is a Someone's point. Office. There's a point of the motorway up ahead where it's just a free for all.
Yeah, yeah,
there's just cars whizzing by at 70, 80.
Someone's 90. Just digging the roads.
There are just men in orange jackets trying to dodge traffic.
It's like Frogger.
Getting pinged into the next lane. And then they go, all right, let's warn everyone. Oh,
Kev's gone, mate. Kev's gone. We'll send Steve out.
He's on the other side of the road. He's on a lorry to Birmingham. Hello, welcome to the 32nd Cream podcast. The Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Now, at the beginning of every one of these podcasts, we ask all three of ourselves. That's myself, Will, Edwin.
Hello.
Benjamin.
Hello.
Nice. That was a clean one.
Thank you.
That was very clean and nice. If cars rule or ruin everything around us on this particular week, would you like to kick us off?
Yes. I must start before I say my rule or ruin. I must start with some penance. I must say sorry. In a video that we posted on the Two Dead Center channel a couple of weeks ago, we walked around all of our cars, tested out if they started or not. And one part of the video, we talked about cars that were no longer with us, the ones that got away. And one of them was the limo. And I mentioned in it that the limo had gone to a competition company, that it was very rusty, and that you shouldn't buy tickets. The result of that, though, is that the guy who runs the competition company, I didn't mention the name, but people still worked out. Mm. There's not many competition companies giving away limos. No, it's quite weird. If I had have gone and checked his Instagram, I would have found that he had just put a post out the day before saying, I've had all the rust done.
Yeah.
So he was quite rightfully annoyed and said, hey, can you please explain that this is, I don't run a dodgy company and that the limo is actually welded up. So Ed from EP Competitions, I'm very sorry. That was completely my bad. He does run a completely normal, fine competition company. He also does lots of cars like us, lots of weird tat, which is up our street. So if you want to go check it out, it is called EP Comps on Instagram. And he also marketed the limo as just a way to inconvenience your friends. If you win it, just give it to someone, which is probably the best idea for the limo.
It inconvenienced us.
It really did. So apologies, but we ball. We move on. My week is a rule.
I know. Is it why?
It's two reasons.
Is it potentially? Okay.
So one was from an hour ago. Yeah. Is the rule?
Yeah.
It's potentially not, but we'll see. We'll call it a rule.
Pending.
The other one, pending rules. Yeah. The previous rule is from on Tuesday. William and I went to a company called DT Performance Cars, and they have lots of cool cars.
Yeah, many.
Because they had a Hellcat wide body and just a little C6 Corvette convertible. Pro-charged with an LS7 7-litre for us to drive. And good God, it was the most incredible automotive experience I've ever had. It was crazy.
Just fantastic. We were obviously driving them on the roads.
Yeah, which
so
is...
obviously, you know, you can only push them so far, but I now want both of those cars on a drag
strip, really badly.
On a runway, on a track.
I said to Ben when I went out with him, we were just driving on back roads the entire day. I never got out of third gear. And I if I'm honest, I wouldn't want to or need to. It was crazy.
The Hellcat, I loved. And I still think that's the car I'd probably have. But the Corvette was a car experience that I won't forget.
That is obscene.
And the only car I've been in with you that I'm genuinely, was genuinely quite scared.
Will and I are pretty comfortable in like being a passenger in each other's cars. In the GTR, there was not much. Well, of course, just up to 70.
Quickly.
But there was no, I'm always like, Will's fine. He's got this. Yeah. But while we were driving the Corvette, I did a pull and Will put his hand up for me to stop. And I legit, the first thing I thought was, wow, this must be actually quite...
And I didn't even think of it. It wasn't a conscious thought.
Yeah, it was just
nature.
It was just,
It was actual fear.
So it is a rule for that reason. And then the second reason it's a rule is, apparently I mentioned it on the last podcast, I didn't actually know. I won the Evo 1.
Nice.
The Evo 1 that I talked about. I won it at the auction, perhaps 35 to 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, not long ago. It's fresh.
So I'm still feeling quite scared with buyer's remorse. It hasn't been on the road since 2008.
That's a long time
ago.
That's
coming up for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's not great to hear. No. So we're going to see how that is.
Is it off the road as in stored and a nice hermetically sealed cabin?
I would hope so. I haven't seen the car. I bought it sight unseen on an auction for £4,250.
Very cheap.
That's incredibly. It is an Evo 1. It is the earliest Evo, so it's the base one that not many people like, but I've always had a soft spot for them. So I'm incredibly excited. Mm. I'm so excited. And so this is a rule for me. We have got a podcast sponsor this week, so let's talk online safety, because browsing without protection these days is like leaving your front door wide open.
A while back, I connected to free airport Wi-Fi.
It seemed harmless, but what I didn't know is that I could have been the victim of a man in the middle attack. Someone could have been intercepting everything I was typing. That's passwords, emails, banking info. Really not great.
That's where NordVPN would have helped. Whether you're checking your emails in a coffee shop or streaming from a different country, NordVPN keeps my data locked down with next-gen encryption, and I can access content as if I was anywhere else in the world.
So get a huge discount on a two-year plan plus four bonus months completely free at nordvpn.com/creampod. It's the best deal online and completely risk-free with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's nordvpn.com/creampod. Link is in the description.
I'm a rule for half of your reasons, and again, that was the Hellcat. Mm. I'm also partially on the ruin side because I now want something like that.
And it's so much money.
And the UK is absolutely ruinous. Yeah. But you can buy American cars, but you are paying quite top money for the crap stuff.
Yeah.
You're paying...
For a V6, you pay...
I think the cheapest I saw was 10 grand, and it is a super rough, naff-looking, really old Challenger V6, which...
Yeah.
It's just not the one, no. Is it? So those cars are 80 to 100 grand plus.
Yeah, big money. We were saying this, you know what, we're ready to move up sticks and move over to America.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, our American, you know, our creamers across the pond are loving
US
it.
US creamers.
I want to be over there. I want to do more stuff in America.
Yeah. I'm coming just to buy a Hellcat, please. And I want to live in a wooden house.
Hey, you know what, we still need to work out what car we're going to rent for Monterey. So maybe we find ourselves
Hellcat and a Corvette.
If we can get a Charger four door,
ooh,
with a practical, yeah, exactly. It's just
you can fit four doors.
Ben's in the back seat getting absolutely thrown around.
Wow!
And then also the Charger. Yeah. Benjamin,
hello. My rule of ruin.
Yes, that's one.
I'm in ruin.
Why is that?
I bought myself a stud conversion kit for my Clio.
Yeah,
which came yesterday. I thought exciting times. I will get to the unit first thing, and I will fit it. I arrived here in the X5 this morning because my Clio, I got in it. First of all, wouldn't start. Interesting. And then I drove down the road and it had this crazy rotation noise from the wheels. So I need to investigate that. And
so you weren't able to bring it today? You haven't been able to look into the reason?
No,
so
I had to just turn around, get in my other car, you know what, and leave.
That's the worst thing. When something like that happens, you have to put the car away, you have to go in another car. The whole time it's just playing on your mind.
Because
you don't have a chance to find out why. You're just going, what if it's the scrambles?
What if I didn't change the rhombus?
My bingus might be broken. It's crazy.
Do you ever have that exact thing? You're away from the cars, nothing you can do, but then you have a light bulb moment. Yeah. You go, I know what it is.
What if
if it is right, you're then mechanic of the year.
Yeah.
I am mechanic.
You've gone to your mind palace. You're like Sherlock going, that anti-roll bar drop link, that wasn't tight.
In heads. But then you go and do it, and then it's just not that.
No.
And then you're back to square one. You're back at work the next day.
So Ben, are you going to diagnose that at home?
I think it's probably fine.
Okay.
I drove it about a mile, turned around, came back, and it seemed to get a bit better. So I don't know what it was. I need to have a proper look at it.
As long as it's not a clunk, a big knock or a crunch, or a Clio, it's not much it really can be.
Also,
really.
We were saying earlier, a rotational noise, I'm scared for instantly, because I'm like, oh, a wheel's going to fall off.
Horrible noise.
But I'd rather a rotational noise, sorry, I'd rather a speed noise than a rev dependent noise.
Yeah, yeah.
If it makes a noise with the engine speed, I'm a shitting pant. It's gone. They're gone.
Big brown.
There's
trousers.
A hole in the seat. Whereas if it's just, fine, she'll be fine. You know what?
The Jag had that.
Self-clearancing is a great thing.
The Jag had that. And again, we had that same thing. It's like, oh, this is a 5-liter Jag.
Yeah.
Whooshing rotation noise like that. The diff's going to be broken or something. Yeah, it's just a heat shield.
Meanwhile, the heat shield, I'm going to make some noise.
I think I'm going to be bent up under here.
So you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll have to drive it to Shedfest Sunday.
Well, speaking of, Shedfest, we're there on Sunday. It will have been and gone.
It will have been.
Ben, all week, has been very upset because we were joking with the fact that he would have to go on stage.
Rumours.
I've been genuinely very upset.
Ben really actually refused to go up on stage. So,
which is nothing. If there's any fellow creamers there, it's nothing to do with you. I just don't
like
it.
He did say, he said, I really don't want to see those people.
Yeah. He I didn't want to share a stage with that Will guy.
He said, no, Ben said that if he was on a stage, he would be able to tell who was a creamer and who wasn't in the stand. He would just hate to see them. Yeah.
I didn't want to see anyone that wasn't a creamer and I was worried about
that. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's a good idea.
And people who haven't subscribed to Rat Dog Media as well.
It's done. We did it.
We're there. Yeah, that's a fantastic segue.
That is a crazy one.
They're at like 25-2 now.
Yeah.
From strength. I believe they're actually getting some flack from a Dutch YouTube channel.
Why?
I watched the video last night and I think it's Dutch. Oh, I could be lying.
I'm not very happy with you.
You got the hills and what such.
Oh, wow. Crazy accent.
They said it's their competitor. I don't know. It's Dutch Rat Dog.
Are they also called Rat Dog?
No. What's Rat Dog in Dutch?
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
Okay.
I know Dutch is a hond. Is a hond. An H-O-N-D, but I don't know what a rat is.
So Dutch Rat Dog, whatever their name is.
Dutch Dog.
Have apparently made a sly dig.
Ooh.
That they're buying followers.
Oh,
now, we'd just like to clear up.
Now they are.
We haven't been paid a penny.
No, but they are paying us in kind.
In Murcielago drivings.
And you know what? That's
that. Nuno is having to fix the Murcielago potentially earlier than he would have liked.
Which is true.
So I guess he's... It is a cost.
It's not buying followers. We're sending our people to, you know, people are going to speak to your people and then they're going to
get along, and then, which you did.
Exactly.
Then you're going to stick around.
You're going to subscribe.
So Dutch guys.
Yeah, so don't worry. Maybe we send some over to you as well. Okay.
Speaking of the accent, actually, a very quick mention to the man's name who have I forgotten.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The compilation.
Mr. Laser.
See you, Laser.
But he's Mr. Laser to us. Yeah.
So, you know, so Laser Man
uses government name.
He has Mr. President.
Yeah, of course. There has been a second compilation.
There's a great comment on there that's like, Mr. Laser lays dormant.
Yeah. Yes. 15 years. And then found his calling when the Cream podcast started.
It's basically also, slightly touchy accents.
Yeah. Which are not great. Yeah. We will also be in contact with you because we love what you do.
And yeah, we do. Yeah.
You know, we'd love to potentially get you involved.
If we haven't by this point, which is probably about a week at this stage, just send the message.
Also, we've done this, we're all very bad for it. There was the lovely gentleman who said he would give us a tour of the McLaren factory.
Yeah, very sorry about
always,
that.
We forgot to respond to that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And also the gentleman who said he would let us spec his Temerario.
Yeah, we're very also sorry about that.
Look, man, it's not that we don't want to, it's not that we're too good for anything.
Nah.
We are idiots that forget. And then 4 months later we go, oh no!
Also, it almost feels like it's a bit big time.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. You know, I'm gonna come and take this.
I don't need it.
Yep. No, I don't need this.
Yeah.
But yeah, see you later. We would recommend watching that. Not right now, but afterwards.
Also, if we remember, we'll put it the link in the description.
Yeah.
Brackets. We won't.
Possibly not. Would you like to move on to the list of things and stuff? That
list
we
of
about
things
in this
and
podcast?
Stuff. So a ruin. Wow. Sorry. Cut to Ben on that. Ben is just watching what is in the background, which is one of the greatest games. Not just car games.
Are we on LA?
But the greatest game of all time. That's Midnight Club LA. Ben, did you play this? Is this why you're watching?
No, the reason I'm still looking so intently and haven't blinked for many minutes now is because the graphics are quite good.
They are. This is a remaster. Most of the, we put up YouTube like 8-hour gameplays just of it. And more often than not, they are remastered. But this game still holds up. I still play this on,
because
you can play it on Xbox One. You can play the backwards compatibility thing. And it still holds up.
Yeah,
the handling of it. Yeah, it's not so great.
Yeah, it's very arcadey.
Yeah, but it is a fantastic game. If
you've
never played,
you can drive on two wheels.
You can aggro and roar.
Did you ever do that?
No,
like for an actual reason.
No, I just sort of. I did use one of the special power up things was, I think it was roar, where it would shove everyone away from you around you. And you could, if you were about to hit a traffic car, you could hit it and it would push them away.
Yeah. I remember there being races in that game that I was just hoping that my opponents were crashing into walls.
Yeah.
It's the only way I could do it.
This was the era of games where it was still very hard. Like this in Pro Street, I struggled with stuff. This, there was a pink slip mode. Ben, because you never played this, right? There was let me tell you about this. There was a pink slip thing where you could go and race someone for a better car. But if you lost, you lost your car. And if there was a way to, like, if you pulled the plug out the back of your Xbox quick enough before the end of the race, it would work. But more often than not, when you started the race and you turned your Xbox off, it's gone. And then your car would be at the pink slip, like, dealership, like, where you race people. It would be sitting there, taunting you. And you could try and race your own car to get it back.
Is it just a walking game then? You lose your car?
You're just walking around?
You go back to it.
After that, you have to get a loan, get a car.
But that's cool. That's
flashing
cool
lights to flash to drive flash races.
To start a race, you flash your headlights at them, and then you race towards where the race starts. So good.
shortly before pit maneuvering them into other into oncoming traffic.
Just like Aaron Paul in Need for Speed.
Right, first point I've got in here was actually one of the last things we missed out on last week, is there was a post from an Instagram page basically doing supercar spotting on Google Maps.
Or Google
Earth, whatever it's called now. Someone spotted this.
Yeah, you told me about this.
So this is two Jaguar XJ220s parked on a relatively normal looking street in England.
Yeah, for a broad viewers, it's kind of like it's not real. Let's use the word shithole is a lovely English use.
Yeah.
It would be just a step up above that. There's no reason.
It's Stoke-on-Trent for our British viewers.
People from Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, actually, I'm not from Stoke-on-Trent. I'm from Stoke-upon-the-Avon.
Also, Stoke-on-Trent people from there do not have internet yet, so it's fine.
They don't. Or understand anything we're saying. But
Cream knows how to lose listeners. We really do know how to get rid of them.
There was a comment. Someone did comment that. I can't really say. You guys are just abusing us and telling us that we're idiots. But I like it.
Yeah, it was a great job. Keep it up.
We don't try to do that. It just kind of happens like that.
But two XJ220s. That's crazy.
Two just parked up. And now I did some digging and some research.
Yeah.
Because I thought that, all right, this just can't be. There has to be a reason for this. And it is apparently Don Law.
Oh, it's Don Law.
It was near... Very, very near, either opposite or very, very nearby where their old unit used to be.
Yeah, just leave the XJ220 across the street. Like,
so Don Law Racing is who I believe currently owns the Top Gear, the XJ220 engine Top Gear van thing.
They also own, from memory, all of the bucks that are for designing the panels on the XJ220. Like, they bought out the entire... They'll take your entire stock, I think is what they said.
I'll take the whole lot.
And they are who you go to if you need... stuff remaking, re-engineering. We'd love to get in contact with them because they do have the van. They have a transit van with a VX220. That's a Freudian slip there. I wonder why I mentioned that.
Why you would say that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Oh, my bizarre DPD encounter.
Oh, this is quite funny.
This was perhaps, this was only a day after we recorded the last one. I've already told Edwin about this.
I don't think
I've told you about this, Ben. Last Friday, I left the unit. What a beautiful summer's day it was. Mm. I'm in the McGann. We've got nice country roads around here. I come round a corner, which is a relatively blind bend, but you can kind of see across the hedge before
single
you get
lane
to the
as
corner.
Well.
Single lane. But there's two places at either end of it where you can pull in.
Yeah.
So I've come around the corner and I'm already halfway down the road. So I'm well beyond my pull in spot. So anyone coming would wait for me. DPD van ahead. I can see him in the pull-in ahead waiting, and then he pulls
out. He's already there. Okay.
And he sees me coming out, and he just pulls out, drives at me. And I thought, right, he's going to realize the mistake, stop, reverse back a bit. Doesn't. Keeps coming at me. So I gesture at him. I gesticulate.
Now, could you, for the audio listeners, could you describe that? What was the gesture?
I said, you I was actually quite mild-mannered. I think I probably said something idiot. And I basically said, go back.
And with your arms, you motioned
I
to
said,
move back.
Please go back.
Perhaps so, like an Italian doing any form of speech, you
so
did
go
that.
Go back. And the van already stopped. The driver immediately just stepped out of the van.
Crazy.
So I was like, okay, here we go. Like, there's going to be...
We're on for something.
Is there violence happening here? I'm not quite prepared for this, but I'm down for it.
You know what?
I feel like I'm in the right.
Friday evening, I'm fine.
I'm willing to fight for this. He came up to the window. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, you need to go back. I was like, no, you need to go. You're like a van length away from where you should pull back into. And he said, I'll drive this van into the ditch. I didn't quite understand the threat. I might have misheard it, but that's what it sounded like to me.
It wasn't I'm worried about the van going into the ditch. It was, I will drive this van into the ditch.
I just didn't understand that. I didn't know if it was a threat. I was like, how does that damage
me?
I
like doing it. Does it go into the ditch? That showed you, didn't it?
Yeah, I just drive off. You what? So in the end, I thought, he seemed a little bit flustered by it. So I thought, I can't be asked for this. This could go too far. I reversed all the way back, which was too far to reverse, and let him pass. And he drove at me with the door open, and he put his hand out the window as if to say, like, hold on. So I waited there, and he pulled up alongside, and he went, do you work with Auto Alex? I said, yeah. And he just sort of nodded, smirked, and just drove away. I couldn't fathom the whole situation.
You are social experimented. That is, you're data. You're absolutely data.
But I, like the smirk, I didn't know if it was a mix between smug. It was almost, it was either a realization. It was
cool. I'm okay with
or
you.
Or it was like, this guy's an idiot. Yeah. I don't understand. If that's you, please let, are we good? Like,
that's what Will said to me afterwards. He told me the story. We laughed about it. Then he went, I don't know where I stand with him.
Because if he's a DPD driver in this area, it's likely he's going to come here at some point.
He's going to see
a feeling. We just had some like Hoover vac stuff delivered.
Yeah.
So I think he delivered it about 5 to 10 minutes prior. So look, if it's you, just let me know. Are we good? You were in the wrong. You could have gone.
What
back.
We got next?
We've got from
also,
Ben here.
Quickly, no news. We got enough anecdotes. There's no news.
There's no. I haven't looked.
Okay, fair.
But there just isn't.
That means there's no news. If we haven't looked, there's none.
There isn't news.
If you're listening right now, do not worry. There's no car news.
There's no car news. And if there is, there isn't. Please let us know. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks' time, probably. Yeah. But before that, there's a little something from Ben here.
Ooh, he wants.
Yes. Off my chest, this must be. A podcast from last week went out as we are recording this. When? A few hours ago?
Yep.
Today it went out. Lots of comments about my rant, which I did lose my rag a little bit, about the man with the flashing lights.
Yes.
People have been saying that was an emergency services vehicle and it was a doctor. And I'm here to assure you it is not. Okay. I said I need to learn to articulate things correctly. Not flashing green lights. They are yellowy colour. It was a man in a modified car trying to impersonate.
It was like an off-road light bar.
Yeah. Not on the front. It wasn't, and it wasn't like it was on the top, and it wasn't like, nothing like an emergency services vehicle. I saw the man as he drove past. He was not emergency services at all. It was just a human being driving like a knob.
You said he undertook a load.
He was undertaking.
Yeah, we've been I'm not here to block emergency services vehicles. That would be not good.
Ben sees an ambulance. Look at this dick coming. Yeah, and what's this dick thing?
Yeah, there's word up the side. It's an ECHNA number.
I couldn't read it properly. It's dumb. What an idiot.
But I want to clear that up.
His phone number was on the side. It said 999.
I thought that's way too short. I want everyone to know that isn't the case at all. And I appreciate it might sound like that, but I would not do that.
Guys, that's actually incredibly mild mannered in an automobile.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the threat.
No.
He is the man who... Yeah.
But he does like to block doctors on the motorway.
No, he does.
I hate the joke because I read it and I was like, the podcast went out and I read it and I was like, no.
Do you know what the best thing? The podcast went out and usually it's us that we'll read a comment that we'll be like, that's dumb, or we'll say, that's funny. And Ben was in the corner just fuming, going, what an idiot. I said that it's not a doctor.
And then, that wasn't quite that. Then,
yes, it was.
Well, and now you're just making my anger seem worse. I'm then, not an angry
and then,
person.
And then 2 minutes later, it was quite, then Ben went, idiot. What the hell?
He's still thinking about the doctor. Was want to save someone?
No, I read it.
It's not a doctor.
And my heart sank. I don't want to be on a podcast looking like I'm going, yeah, so a big weekend of blocking police cars, ambulance.
Yeah, I'll just go out on the road now just to find them and block them.
Yeah.
I've parked in front of a fire station and I just don't let them out the door.
What you could do is, it's rather than block them, is use the space they live behind.
I've always thought about that. Yeah. Like, how far could you be behind to stop them getting going? Like, come on!
I would quite like to know what is the I see this regularly on the roads where people move out of the way. A lot of time on the motorway because it's quite simple where you've got the lanes and whatever. Police car, ambulance, defending, driving, doctor drives past, and everyone courteously moves out of the way.
With an off-road light bar.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone moves out of the way because they know he's saving lives.
Yeah, of course.
But then when is socially acceptable to move back into that lane? Can you use it? Should you use it? I use it as a way to get past other people.
But you know what it is? I always think about it. It's a factory reset. It sends everyone back into a lane.
It's a safety car.
They go, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I'm fine. I don't need them fast lane.
But if the person ahead of you pulls over, the police car's gone. It's clear. The lane's clear, but they haven't gone back in.
I'm going around.
Okay, so it's every man for himself.
If they're going slower than 70 miles an hour.
And they pull into lane 3.5.
Exactly, stage 2.5 lane. And they've got the elbow remap, then I'm in there.
So yeah, but there's like a no man's land time.
Yeah.
Where the police car goes past and you're like, this is going to sound bad. Is it far away enough for me to slightly go over the speed limit now? Is he going to stop for me? Probably not.
He's got bigger things.
He's chasing Ben.
Yeah.
Really.
Some idiot's blocking us all. Go get him.
I don't want it to become a thing, please.
Oh, you've said but, it now. Okay. Now it is.
But no, I'm clearing that up. It was okay. Not that at all. I apologise for my complete lack of articulating things.
A lot of apologies, Harry.
Now, Ben.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. We're getting a lot off of our
chest. Clear the air.
It's good.
Ben, you also had... Now
it's off my chest. I can move on to Will. Please read the title.
It's Hazard's Bag of Crisps.
Hazard's Bag of Crisps.
Eden Hazard?
Hazard?
Doesn't mind.
Hazard. Okay.
Hazard's Bag of Crisps. You put this also in on Friday evening.
I was driving home on Friday evening from when, during probably the time you were attacking a delivery driver.
Yeah. I was being accosted by, yes. By so a I was on DPD the M4, driver.
And I'm on the M4. Not a lot of people around on Friday night. So, you know, I'm just in the left-hand lane, as you should be.
Looking, scouting for ambulances.
I've got a whole row of policemen behind me. I'm not letting them throw and weave in and out. No.
You know when policemen, when there's a crash up ahead and the policemen weave across the lanes to stop you going?
Yeah.
That's what Ben does when he sees an emergency vehicle.
I will say it one.
No, no, no.
I will say it one final time. It was just a man and a defender. It was not an emergency services vehicle. Moving on to Bag of Crisps.
Bag of Crisps.
I was driving on that. And you know, you're basically there's no one on the motorway. And then suddenly, if you're in the left-hand lane, someone just appears. And they're just sat there chilling. Not in the middle lane hogging, just there going, I'm going to say maybe 50 miles an hour at max. So I'm like, you know, I'm going 70 miles an hour on the speed limit on the motorway. And I go, I arrive up them.
Whoa. And how was it when you were driving as well?
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, the hazards are on. Okay, there's an issue here. Right, I'm going to go around. So I like slow off. I'm going to start to go around. It turns out it was a man who had no hands on the steering wheel eating a bag of crisps.
So hold on.
So he put the hazards on,
went 50 miles an hour, which is munching some Doritos.
Oh, fair enough.
You say, look, watch out. Guys, watch out around me.
I'm a hazard.
Because I've got to eat these crisps. Look,
they're about to go out of date.
Looking out the window. Look, they're not going to eat themselves.
He looked at them, it said 0525.
He went, ah, oh, shit. I got to eat these.
But he was straight up yamming back Pringles just on a Friday
Pringles.
Night.
Pringles?
No, I think it was Doritos.
Oh, okay.
Pringles was crazy. He's trying to steer, but they're two hands stuck in the Pringle can.
No, he wasn't steering. I think he was using his knees.
He's drinking them.
He was holding the Pringles in one bag and eating the Pringles. Not the Pringles.
Did he have a dip?
Like I didn't see that. Something. I didn't see, but maybe. I mean, he was, but that's mad.
Well, remember, we had the previous conversation about what is the best food to eat. Hey, Doritos are now up there.
Or perhaps he was having a breakdown. He might be, you know, maybe he was in oil, not like that. Maybe he was. But his car was having an issue. And then he's got a flat tire on the side. Perhaps you can't see. And he went, well, I might as well have these crisps.
Yeah, I'm stressed out right now because of this breakdown. Let's get some crisps out.
I'm not going to pull into the hard shoulder.
I'm going
to eat these crisps.
I need my energy for this lay-by. So let's get some crisps.
I don't know. Maybe there was some sort of medical condition.
Maybe that's what the defender was on the way to.
Well, I wasn't letting game anywhere.
Why do you think he needs the crisps to stay alive?
I don't know. Maybe he had like some kind of Jason Statham sugar type thing. And I was like, I've got to get some Doritos in me now. We're not making an next junction,
boys. That's fair. That could be an
error. It could be that, but at the same time.
But you'd pull over.
I mean, I feel like at that point, maybe he's the hard shoulder. It's still dangerous.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Park your car on the hard shoulder, get out behind the barrier where it's safe, and then eat your crisps.
Or it was a...
He might have thought, I might not have time for that, and I'll just fall over the barrier.
And then, or you'll fall into the hard shoulder, and then you are in danger.
Fair.
Not on the hard shoulder, you'd be fine. If you fell into the motorway, you know, where there's like doctors undertaking and...
Well, no, they wouldn't get anywhere there. Was not a doctor.
Deal with it.
You're a doctor.
We've got one from you, Harold, when Sophie Rat Dog.
I can't remember what that is at all. I was just speaking to my girlfriend who has zero interest in cars, really. Mm. And she was like, yeah, I went and subscribed to them. I said, did you watch a video? And she went, no. I went, look, the deal was, you must go and watch a video.
Yeah.
She got halfway through and she went, their cars look nicer than yours.
Yeah, don't say it. It's true.
What the hell?
It's fair.
It's fair, but come on.
It's fair, but yeah, no, nothing.
It's fair.
We've got different cars.
Yeah, it's true.
They just have better ones. They just know what they're doing. Oh, we got another one from... No, me. This is not news. This is kind of new car stuff. It's electric car stuff, but it's funny.
Okay.
The new Renault 5.
Yes. Yeah.
Very retro looking. I'm actually quite interested in one of those.
I like it as well. You said...
There's some ridiculous... Well,
there was a lease deal that came up.
It was like 200 quid a month.
And you considered it.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of hear it. I like how they look.
Yeah. It's the most basic one.
I really want to see one on some wheels. Cool wheels. That's what I like that.
Apparently, yeah. 8,000 miles a year. I was a bit like...
You'd do that in a week.
Yeah. I think I'd get bored of it very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is an option extra on there.
Now, here's something. You are in the automotive space. You could send Renault a message and say, I'd like to have a long-term one to review.
I'd like this car.
can I have one for free? They go, what, who? What
are you talking? And I will speak words about
and
it.
And you can say, I'm a creamer. I'm the creamer.
I am one of the creamers.
Exactly.
I'm a founding creamer.
And we could get you so many people upset with your car.
We could, you know, we can get you like 25,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
If you're starting at about 15.
Yeah, maybe call it 10.
Right, to 10 to 15, we can get you there if you're making cool stuff. The option on the Renault 5 is a baguette holder.
Now, I haven't seen it. What is it a tube?
It's sort of like, yes. And your baguette sticks halfway, like part way out of it. So it's like you are French bicycling with a baguette.
Okay,
But it sort of goes over the passenger side, clips over. And
On the inner of the door or the center console?
On the center console.
Sorry. On the center console, I quite like that.
But I mean, I know that it's probably meant to be...
Sorry,
Ben. Please move my chair.
Deck, can you please cut back to Ben trying to quietly roll his chair forward? Just the video of him trying to do it.
I need to twist the leg. So I do that quickly?
Please go ahead. Ooh,
that's a
crazy one.
A strafe.
I'm so sorry to all the creamers.
But, right. But it's just quite funny. Yeah. I want to know if it was a sense of humor thing or if they are genuinely going... Actually quite useful.
Of course.
Because how else, like transporting a baguette in like a knob, there is no supermarket bag fit for a baguette.
It's true. It always just sticks out and you get crumbs everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. And then you get home and then your baguette split a lot or like in half.
You never want a baguette split.
You don't want to crush a baguette in half, but I thought that's fantastic.
I think I'd store my Costco hot dog in there perhaps.
So hold on. Isn't it like the tube this big?
No,
you'd get lost in that. Do you want me to find a picture of it for you?
Two Costco hot dogs.
Your dogs would get lost, man.
Oh, do you know what?
Keeps
like,
it warm.
What about like a foot long Subway?
That works.
That's not a bad idea. Quite like that.
But I'll make sure I'm not being memed here.
Does that mean you have to reach into the tube to get your Subway thing? Let's see. That's great. It's and like that's a little wicker basket as well. That's great.
No, your hot dog's getting lost in that, I'm afraid.
I
throwing a sausage down a hallway.
Or a hot dog in a baguette holder.
Yeah. An American would look at that and go, that's for a 75-ounce soda.
Damn, is that my shifter?
Yo, you guys drive stick here?
Look at that. It's just so...
It's more like stick of French bread, am I right? It's just...
That's fantastic. And yeah, you could use it for other things. Icicles?
Icicles? Yeah, you could use that for stalagmites, mate. Such a crazy thing to pull out.
What else is long that you need? Nah, it's just your baguette, really.
Yeah.
It?
A sword.
Oh,
in case someone pulls up on your lights.
Yeah.
your musket.
Your long barreled musket.
If someone pulls out a light and tries to race me, and I try and race them, and they pull out a sword,
and I see them wearing full chainmail with one of those tin can hats.
Oui, monsieur. We will fat to the death.
I look away and look back. It's actually a horse. I'm like,
that's the new Renault 5 looks lovely.
That is, I think, you know, that's a funny option to have. I don't know how much it is, but if I ever
Surely,
got a 5.
If it's a little wicker basket, you can't.
Renault, if you're listening, we all want Renault 5s with baguette holders.
Please.
We don't care about any of the other options.
Hey, just Will, make sure it's your Renault 5 holder that you get from Renault to test for long term
should have a baguette
and that can be part of the review.
And we can have baguettes and I can tell you what sort of baguette. What other things you could store in it.
What the best baguette to use.
What fits in your baguette holder?
That sounds like a euphemism. I don't like it.
We've got an Instagram link from you here, which is this guy.
Yes, it is an Instagram link. Again, I will endeavor to send the link. It probably won't happen, but it is a drone footage of a drift event. You've seen it. Two incredibly liveried up cars with ultimate angle doing skids tandem side by side. Except this one is not that. It's one drift car and a completely stock. Is it an X3 or is it an X5?
I think 5. It looks like a 5.
An X5M, I'm going to assume, or maybe it's just a normal one, but just an X5 drifting. It's got some aftermarket wheels.
X5M, yeah.
And it's just doing actual silly drift car skids.
Oh, like actual, and with about a foot or so from the car.
From a drift, yeah, from doing, a proper drift car next to it.
Big tandem.
In my head, it's like when you watch a movie and you see like an Mission Impossible and they're doing dirty duggets in a old E28. You're like, yeah, but not really. Normal cars can't really do that. Meanwhile, Chris Harris turning up to a drift event in an X5M. that's what it would look like. It's quite cool.
That is quite cool.
I have a question.
Ooh.
Sure. It's just come to me now. Who did the first skid?
It's a great question.
And when was it? Because if there were people...
I reckon it was within 5 minutes of a four-wheeled automobile being created.
It absolutely has to be.
Doing a skid?
Yeah, 100%. Because have you seen the videos of the Amish in America when it snows doing skids with their horse and carts? That's not a joke.
People drift bicycles.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're telling me they went, oh, we got this amazing new invention. It can go 3 miles an hour. I'm doing a skid.
Realistically, I think it was probably the first time they raced one. The first time they pushed the limits of driving, someone would have gone, oh, dab of Oppo there.
When you get on a bike or a BMX or any kind of bicycle, what is the first thing you want to do? I want to pull the back brake and see if it skids.
Yeah.
That is one of the first things. Once I'm up to speed, I'm going to go, hey, what does this rear brake do? Does it skid?
Now, there has been a quite recent, we won't talk about it in this podcast because it will be for future content, but we recently bought a car yesterday. Nothing special.
No.
It was just a little 100 horsepower front wheel drive car. It's not the C2 VTS. We will buy one of those at some point. It's a car that's far more special to me. And it can't do burnouts. It can't do skids. So what am I doing? I'm pulling the handbrake.
Exactly.
So because it's all I can do.
Everyone will figure out a way.
I'm a child on a bicycle. I'm holding the rear brake and doing a skid and coming to a stop.
Ben, what's the first thing you're doing with a trolley? In a supermarket.
I'm hitting angles. I'm good at it as well.
You know what? It's human nature.
If you ever see me in a supermarket, watch out for those angles because I'm clipping the apex.
Is it on wheels? Humans will go, I'm going to push the limits.
Do you know what I find interesting though? I would love to do that test, but with racing drivers. Because racing drivers hate doing skids.
Trolley?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because when I was growing up, a friend of mine was into go-kart racing, like big time. He was into actually professional go-kart racing. And we'd play PlayStation together and he'd be, you know, setting lap times and I'd be like, nah, do some skids. And he couldn't fathom it. He'd be like, but it's slower. I don't understand.
It's fun.
But it's more fun. And I remember setting up, he had a like a DIY sim type thing. And I built a hydro handbrake out of an old piece of metal that had like a lever that went up to press the X button to hit the handbrake. And I did it. And his dad walked in, who was like his kind of coach for racing. Yeah. I was like, what's this? I was like, it's just, you know, do drifts and skids. And he was upset because he was like, no, that's slow. Don't do that. Yeah, and he was annoyed that his son was like being affected by me.
Yeah.
But I'd like to give a racing driver a trolley. I reckon they're just clipping apexes.
Yeah, they're getting around the supermarket like quick.
Yeah. You shaved 4/10 off the rice aisle there. Like incredible.
They're doing you up the outside or the inside there.
To your left, old woman. And on your right.
Yeah, in a box. Box. We need to unload this load.
2 for 1.
Wait, so your friend was a racing driver?
Yeah, he is a racing driver, yeah.
Wow. An accomplished one now?
In South Africa, he's pretty accomplished.
That's quite cool.
I also built out of, he did go-kart racing there. I built out of the scraps of their stuff, a drift kind of cart. And they got very annoyed if I took it on the track in between sessions because they were like, you're ruining the circuit. It's more fun. Have fun.
Do sideways things. Ben, you've got an M4 versus i4 update.
You have an update. Last week, let me preface this. There is a M4 near where
a BMW M4.
Yeah, sorry, BMW M4 nearish to me that I drive past all the time and I have for many years now. Every time I drive past it, looked at it and gone, very nice. I like that a lot. I went past last week, the week before. He was gone and there was an i4 in its place.
It's not great.
And it was tough. I was upset. Went back the next day, or the day after. He's back, boys.
He's back. So it potentially was our idea. It was a courtesy car. Courtesy. He was hating it.
Probably doing some of like the classic, I don't know, £6,000 of like preventative maintenance on any BMW. Maybe that's
fun. A crank hub.
Yeah. But everyone, all the creamers.
Calm down.
Panic stations are over.
It's all right.
Easy.
And you know what? It's looking better than ever. It's still low. It's still.
What color was it? He's San Marino?
I don't know what that means.
He was blue.
Is he a dark metallic?
A dark metallic blue.
Yeah, we went through this.
San Marino or is Tanzanite?
Yeah.
Diamond cut wheels. It's nice.
Yeah. Comp wheels.
It's nice. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah, 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 lovely. Yeah. Anyway, he's back. So no one panic. Oh, obviously, if it changes again,
please do let us know.
I will update. But for now, everyone stop panicking.
Another one from you here, Ben.
Another one.
Camper van.
I had a great thought. We should buy a camper van.
No, thanks.
I don't really like that.
No. Do you not think that a camper van for our job would be perfect?
No.
What do you mean
late night as a unit?
No.
A little bit of kip. I'm on the podcast. Film it in there. I need to get an edit done midday in the camper van.
I'd rather drive into a wall.
Hang on, but we can put a cool engine in it.
No, we can't.
It's still not interesting.
Not really.
Also, then the camper van gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, would that not be perfect?
I am so avidly against things that are half something and half something else. Mm. I have this argument with my girlfriend all the time because she loves it. She's like, we could go in the camper van. No.
No, why is it like that?
I look, I have the same, my basis comes from boats, right? Mm. You spend £1 million on a boat. That sounds like a lot of money. Mm. In reality, £1 million on a boat gets you a shit one bed flat in London inside of a little fiberglass vessel. Mm. That's what it is. Why am I going to spend £1 million on that when £1 million could rent you a super yacht for as many weeks as you wish to boat for the next few years?
I'm not on board with the boat idea. Because a smaller boat might be nice. It might be £1 million boat's got to be nice.
No, that's my point. It is never for the amount of money you spend on it. They're so shit. They are so. Go look up £1 million boat and look inside it.
But not inside. I'm not talking about inside. Just to. What do you do with a boat?
Exactly.
Pilot it.
This is my point. If you're spending it on an open deck boat, like a rib, you know what I mean? Like a Navy SEAL type boat.
Yeah.
Cool. Have a big one of those. Cool. I get it. You're chilling. You're out in the sunshine. I'm talking about those boats that have like mini houses inside of them. They got a kitchen. They got a bedroom. They got a yacht. Sorry. That's the word I'm looking for, is a yacht. Those are ridiculous and dumb because you're paying for a shit place.
Now,
it's not good.
One thing I will agree with actually on that one, same with camper vans. I don't see the point in spending 80 grand on a camper van. Well, because they're expensive.
Camper vans are ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Imagine how many holidays, like nice holidays, exactly, you can go for 80 grand. I reckon you could do, I'm going to say, 10 really good holidays.
Of course,
like 10, unreal holidays.
10 spend going on huge.
That's what I'm saying. That's an unreal holiday. Yeah. You 20, 30, like, sort of.
You're on holidays for the rest of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the flip side of it is, so my ass is touching the sink and the front of me is touching what is supposed to be my bed, what is in reality a bench.
And I'm in Bognor Regis.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. And I will never understand. I will never come around to it. I hate them.
This is not what I'm saying. For work, would it not be good? Name a scenario. I'm going to tell you how a camp fan works.
All right.
Okay,
what you're saying is,
okay, well, you're tired, right? Aren't you?
Get here for a little nap.
No, I'll drive home.
Our toilet is broken.
Sorry, jump in the cupboard. Can I just quickly get an intervention quickly?
Yeah.
Because you're saying this, and yet last week when we filmed something, we finished at like 9 or 10 p.m. And I said to you, Ben, would you like me to book you a hotel? Because we're back here early in the morning.
Yep.
And you said, no, I just want to drive home and be in my own bed.
I did want to do that. I did do that.
So
I'd rather be in a hotel.
Be arrested.
Hotel wow. And wait. And Will, Evan, back me up here. Will hates hotels.
But also that's because nine times.
I actually don't hate hotels. I don't like unnecessary hotels.
Yeah. You,
if I can drive to a place,
Will's
I don't
closer,
want to be in a hotel.
Will's closer.
That's fair, but yeah.
But because like a hotel, what? Like absolute work. If you're absolutely smashing mashing the budget, I'm going to the Ritz, boys. Like, we've done a big shoot, I'm off to the Ritz. I'm going to get a Harrod's cake. I'm going to get, we're absolutely boiling. I'm spending £200 to £300 a night. How many times could you do that out of like, even if you spend 20 grand, even if you spend 10 grand on a camper van, why would I want to go and camp outside where there's risk that someone will come along, open my door and do things to me? Steal my van with me in it and drive off with it, or if my living space can be stolen, I don't want to live in it.
Yeah, yes,
I'm saying there are other solutions.
Yeah,
to
someone's
it.
Nicked my house. It's gone.
He's in the middle of the night, just took my house.
I'm saying though, it could be an all-in-one. It could be the
also,
HQ of TDC.
How many times do houses break? Do houses or
houses
hotels?
Break?
Of course, yeah. Houses they don't break down.
Yeah, my house needs a timing belt.
They do.
Crazy, isn't it?
I can't use my house. It's with the mechanic.
Okay, middle of January, a boiler breaks. Basically. A broken down house.
Yeah, it's a broken down house. We can still sleep in it.
Water pump. Water pump's gone on the house.
Well, you can still sleep in it, but you can also still sit in your car if it doesn't drive.
Yeah, but in your camper van, how are you powering this?
Generator.
You go, I can't do that.
I don't know.
I can't put the generator
the
on because the landlord says, I can't make noises at midnight. So I am on candlelight playing Angry Birds on my phone at 3% battery and my family hates me.
This sounds like a normal night for Will.
Wait. But I'm saying for work, we could have a podcast studio in the camper van. We could have
no.
a edit suite in
no,
the
I hate,
van.
I hate that.
We could sleep in there.
No,
we could live in
I
there.
I hate this idea.
And then TDC is the most efficient thing it could possibly be.
No, it's not.
Be.
Ben, do you know what we are? We are... I'm not saying anything more.
Ben,
great.
I am about a meter and a half from Will and about 3 or 4 meters from you.
Yeah.
I don't wish to be any closer.
Well, then we'll get a big camper van.
It doesn't work like that.
Oh,
it doesn't.
Do you know what we would need?
Is a double-decker bus.
To house that is a lorry.
Yeah.
Just get one of the American ones that's like massive.
Oh, that'd be really efficient.
Yeah, but...
Okay. And where would we keep it?
You can park cars in those.
Where would we keep this van?
Not my problem. Well, ben, it would always ben, be on the move because no, we're always on the move. So
Ben takes it home to Bristol every night and drives it over in the morning.
So on the podcast that we filmed, I'm going to say 99% of podcasts here.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've never really needed to go anywhere else. We went to Thruxton once.
Three.
A couple of Airbnbs.
Yeah, a couple of Airbnbs.
Which we drove to in cars and stayed in Airbnbs and filmed podcasts
now,
in Airbnbs.
Here's a question for you, Ben. Okay. This is getting out of hand. That would mean you would need to drive the camper van and use it as our filming car because you would need to drive it.
Getting tracking shots out the camper.
Which means you take it home.
No, I wouldn't need to because I'll live in it.
You would live in the camper
in the week, and then I'll go home on the weekend.
Is that a formal offer?
I'll think about it.
Okay. How about this? We'll think about the camper van.
No.
Anyway.
Do you know what? Camper I think that was quite a good suggestion.
I think there's going to be a lot of people in the comments saying, actually, I have a T5 transporter and I've got two toilets.
I get
to do three pisses a week.
That's not a camper van.
And they are all 4 centimetres from each other.
That is a camper van.
This is a point of contention. I just thought, I was driving the motorway on the way to the shoot with the Hellcat and the Corvette. I was on the way to a hotel. And I thought, if we had a camper van right now.
If only there was someone
I
could stay.
Ben, that means you and I are sharing the bed in the camper van.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
We've shared a bed before.
It's true, we have. And Ben wasn't happy about it.
I'd rather sleep under it like a cat.
Will's in the wheel well in the morning. We're checking for him. We're trying to find him.
I'm on the full Narcos hiding.
He's sitting on the exhaust manifold
with all the grey water.
Edwin.
Hello.
Edwin, you've been here one BMW. The number one.
Yes. I was driving on the way to the hotel. And I saw a i7, which is the new i7, which is the new 7 series, the big one.
Yeah, the big.
With the number plate, one BMW.
Wow.
And there was a chauffeur driving and a man in the back, an elder white man looking very grey and looking very CEO-like.
Mm.
I thought,
In the back. And you could see him.
I could see him. He had no tints. He was clear glass.
He wants to be seen.
And so I did some research and it appears one BMW is owned by BMW.
Ooh.
So surely that it's has to Mr. be BMW. Like Mr. BMW UK MD CEO type beat. But I was thinking, that's, you know what? Of all brands, that is the last MD, let's call him a managing director, who should be chauffeured. Mr. BMW should be driving his own cars. That's the whole point.
He should be in the latest M car.
Exactly. And yet
dailying like a 4 series or a 5 series.
A nice individual spec something. Mm. But to be chauffeured, you don't care.
You're not that guy, pal.
No.
Does that mean like the MD of like Smart has to drive around a little 2-seater Smart car?
No, because it's kind of like Mercedes based. I'm saying BMW is a brand. If you're the MD, you should be part of the gang.
Do you should be? You should be
in a Clap D36.
Mr. Rimac himself.
Yeah, exactly.
With
what I mean.
Just like M5s and stuff, just dailying them.
So he should be in an E36 with windows that don't work because the window regulator's broken. And that, he'd be like, yeah, they all do this.
Yeah, I'm going to get the M Sport kit sometime.
I need to get the sagging headliner done. That's soon. You know.
Yeah, it's rusty. Yeah, no, it doesn't have an MOT. I've got three, actually.
Yeah, I bought parts car, but I'm actually building that for drifting now.
Number plates are bullshit.
We both lost.
I've recently delved into the world of the DVLA auctions, which until quite recently, actually, I didn't really know existed.
Yeah, people are gonna
be upset.
I always
wondered where the hell people got all these number plates from. So there's like once a month or so, there's a DVLA auction where people have either requested or the DVLA themselves have gone, hey, have these plates. I would also like to pick a bone with the DVLA themselves.
Sorry, pause for a second. Please explain to the American viewers what the DVLA is.
Yes, we have maybe 3% of you, but let's explain anyway. DMV. The DVLA is the Driving Vehicles Legally, actually, agency. It's big law. It's big car law.
It's the government.
It's who we pay taxes to. It's who we have to tell we own the car, blah, blah, blah. It's the government.
Yeah.
And they also actually own all the plates. And they very kindly let us lowly peasants pay some money to have them.
We must have them. We have to have them. But they say, you know, you have that really long number plate. You could perhaps pay us a load of money if you wanted a short one. And for some reason, we say yes.
And the shorter you go tends to be, there are lots of formats that I'm not going to get into. Shorter you go tends to get more expensive. I quite like one, I can't remember, is it prefix?
Prefix,
right? It's three letters, number, letter, five or six digits. And I wanted to bid on one.
And what was it?
Which was FRO6X. And for the first time in my life, if I won it, I would have spaced it illegally, and I don't care because it would have been Frog X,
which is funny on a French car.
On a French car, which I understand is potentially racist.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it is.
But I'm not sure I'm that.
But also,
by
it's
that.
Funny. Well, I was going to buy. I shouldn't say it because it's still for sale. And I do want to buy it for one day. Maybe I'll buy it before that. BA02 GET baguette. which I wanted to put on my Clio. Because it's funny. It's French funny. Stuff's funny.
It's funny. There's lots of those number plates. But what I didn't quite fathom is how ridiculously expensive those formats of number plates can get.
So that sold for?
That sold for... it's sold for $2,800, I want to say. And that's not including fees.
Of course. So because fees, of course.
I think there's VAT. And then there's an £80
They're not making
fee.
Enough money.
No.
On the plate.
No,
so they charge you a premium on a percentage on top of the thing, which is just their commission.
Yeah.
Right?
I reckon it's probably, whoever won it probably paid about $3,500.
Crazy. And that's, you looked through and there was one that sold for $55,000.
There was one that sold for 51. So yeah, probably about 55 with fees. Ridiculous.
And that was a four digit plate. That was like 55 OT or something.
Very, very, very small. Yeah. I think it might even been a three.
All crazy.
So big P's, but it's just, there is an immense amount of money being spent on number plates. There are hundreds of thousands of pounds in that auction alone just being spunked on number plates.
Which is crazy, because you could just not run them. That's what I do. It's just, you don't even need them.
That's
not true.
There was one of the first cool plates I ever saw. Well, not cool, but I thought it was cool because I was a child. I saw in a car park near where I used to go quite frequently, there was a C63, the one that, Will, you drove.
6.2,
big boy, with a plate 8EN Ben.
Oh, well,
that's
Ben.
It. That's literally
actually,
it.
That would be a very expensive.
I saw that on a C63 and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
And about probably like 7 years later, it was on a Range Rover Sport SVR, which
also,
I saw.
For those of you that don't know, perhaps you're from abroad or you're just not that aware in the UK, we have to have, the reason it's so special in America, you can, let's say you get assigned 8FJ62N. Cool, that doesn't matter. That's just what they legally assign you. You can then go to whoever and say, I want the name Gregory. And if it fits within a certain size, you can have it. Or you can have 81 vet, literally like here, on the what's called, we have restless written on there. We can't do that. We have to obey a certain format for a certain year type thing, which means it's very limited on what you can get. Your number plate has to have a letter. Your number plate has to have at least one number and a letter. It's like choosing a password.
Hmm.
You must have one uppercase character in this.
Yeah. So that plate was FRO space 6X.
Yeah.
If you space it any other way, it's illegal.
You couldn't. And there is no plate on Earth in the UK that says frog.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. You can't get that.
No.
So people get creative in ways to spell things. Like that one was 83N.
No, 8EN.
8EN. Yeah. So they're spacing it to say the word Ben.
Big mess.
Cool. But I'll say this. I think I will die on this hill. UK number plates is the best format in the entire world.
I agree. No, I think America's best because just have the word.
I don't like the way their number plates look.
Agree.
Like toy car things.
I don't mean as in like custom ones. I mean, if you're getting a normal bog standard plate, the way it's laid out is just the most efficient
in
way
terms
possible.
Of understanding what the information it
you
conveys.
Got your first letter, it's your wide area. Your second letter, your local area where the car was made. Then you got your year.
Yeah.
15, 16, whatever.
I thought the first and second were the same thing.
I thought, first and second are just their own area.
I thought it meant like if it was W, it's like West Country, and then like P is Bristol, for example.
Oh, perhaps.
And there's a few different ones. And then your year, and then you have, and then they go, okay, cool, now three random letters at the end. Which means that you can, I can't remember what the number is, but I worked out one time, and it is in each small area they locate for each plate, it's hundreds of thousands of cars be made. You can't ever run. You can never run out of them. I just whenever I go to Europe, whatever. I think I don't understand their layout.
But it's because you don't understand. But people will come over to the UK and go, "Why is there just a random
car?" Do they have a format in Europe?
Yes, like Germans
that says the year of the car and whatever else.
Not, I'm not 100% sure on year, but I know there's location. Like
go on.
I was just going to say, like, if you look at any like Volkswagen press car, it will say WOB. WOB.
Yeah, I've noticed
that's
that.
Wolfsburg.
But there's nothing that, is there anything that dates them?
I believe there might be.
I want to know if that has an effect on, it must have an effect on the way people see cars. Like here, people in the UK, people are quite obsessed with having a new car or a very new
74
car.
Plate is a
regular Joe, when they see someone with a 2010 car, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, a bit old.
That's an old car.
Yeah.
But like when they see someone with a 25, no matter what it is,
it's
immediately better to them. So surely having that on the number plate benefits a manufacturer or a car dealer.
I think it has to,
surely,
because you literally see it as a marketing thing here. Get the first 25 plate.
Yeah.
Get your new 74 plates here. So
I like it
a used
lot.
To be letters. What is it like?
Because before
2001
is A to Z, but not really Z.
X is the last one. Yeah.
Don't enjoy that at all.
I see, that's my favorite age of plates.
Really?
A 90s plate is the best.
I like the prefix one. Which is older than that, which is 80s. Which is the what we now have as a five-digit plate, but backwards.
I like those if it's a short plate like Frog X.
Yeah.
Whereas in the for most cars that were issued, you would have AAA 11123A.
Yeah.
Whereas you were looking at AAA 1A, which is cool. That's short.
Yeah.
But the long ones are a little bit meh.
Yeah.
This is mega nerdy stuff.
This is.
I used to have, when I first started learning about plates, in my dad's car, we put in the glove box, we printed out the list of all the area locations, like W, whatever, on it.
So you could
and
learn.
And then me and him would be in the car, and when we do like a long journey, he'd be like, that car, and I'd go down on the list. And I was very young. I'd read out what it was.
That's why you're good at that. Because Ben will do that quite often. He'll be like, oh, ND, like Nottingham. I'm like,
KY.
Kent.
I don't think so.
I'm looking it up.
Jelly.
Only way I know KY is that's what all the Audi press cars are, and it's Milton Keynes-ish.
Oh, okay.
Keynes.
If you look at all of the Keynes.
KY.
Milton Keynes.
Keynes. I know all of them, but if you
look at most UK Evos that were grey imports, they're WX. Don't know why that is.
WX would be WX, West Country. Be...
WXO, whatever.
Wow. Okay, we might have to test Ben on this at some point.
I don't know that many. Brush
up on your knowledge.
Hit me one right now. Hit me one.
We just did.
PL, Plymouth.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think it's... No, because a lot of them don't conform to such...
No, I know. I just think it's Portsmouth.
Things. PL was my old Evo, and I think that was registered in Wigan.
Wait one sec.
PL54AZA.
Wigan.
Plegan.
I don't know that well, but we used to do that.
There's
going to
be some number plate nerds in the comments going, oh my god. You don't know that the M-Reg is actually originated in Gloucestershire.
Can we please get the creamers in the comments? Please leave us a comment on what the coolest plate you've seen is.
There is a man on Instagram who just does number plates.
You know what? I got...
He messaged about the number plate.
Did he?
PDC, yeah. I haven't responded to that.
I had no idea. Yeah, the very posh man.
Yeah, he's exceptionally posh.
I watched one of his videos. I was like, that's cool information. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Sultan Brunei also owns A1.
A1. What, UK plate?
The first registered
A1
plate.
A1 auto spares down the road. Swinging.
Oh, I could have been on that.
Oh, 20 mil is it?
It was originally registered for the longest time on a Mini Cooper, not even an S. And then recently, I believe it's now on, I can't remember what it is on. Is it? It might even be on an Audi A1.
Hmm. There are some crazy histories to number plates. We'll have to do some research and come back. Maybe speak to, I think it's number plate history.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I'm very sorry. I've forgotten your name. But it goes into them. So like this was the first number plate to do with the Duke Earl of Kings.
Of Bingstall.
King Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Isn't it F1? Is one the one they've been trying to sell for years for an ungodly amount of money?
Always talk about 10 million a car. Yeah, always says like, oh, it's 10 mil. And then someone goes, I showed interest at 7. He's like, no, it's 15 now. It's never going
to
sell.
He's just waiting on Bernie Eccleston to turn up.
Yeah.
But if you got an McLaren F1, which is, you know, £20 million car now.
Yeah.
And you want, it's kind of, you're kind of rude not to, I think, at that point.
Be a shame not to.
Well, if it's 20 mil for a car, why not spend 25 mil at that
drop
point?
Drop in the ocean.
Well, I mean, for that person, probably is.
Yeah.
Sure, we can move on. I think we move on.
We'll
go on from number plates.
People who aren't interested in number plates, Jesus, thank God.
Thank God they've stopped talking about camper vans. Right, number plates. Ben, you've put, I don't know what this cryptic message is here.
Go.
It says Jack. J-A-C.
Okay. Well, I think we've touched this before. There is an influx of new car brands at the minute. Like ones I've never seen before.
I saw
a pickup truck on the way back on Tuesday from driving those cars, which is on the back in, you know, like Ford on F-150s and Rangers have the Ford on the front.
Yeah.
That on the back, J-A-C.
Jack.
Looked it up. Who's Jack? Jack is a Chinese brand.
What's Jack
just another new one. There's now Jayco or something, a new
Jayco,
one.
Jayco, yeah.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah. But in the last year, I'm just seeing car brands pop up everywhere.
We got messaged by Jayco, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they said we're not supposed to talk about it. I don't care. Well, we didn't ever respond to the email, so it doesn't matter. We never agreed to anything. They were like, do you want to come and be an influencer and drive this car for us for the day? And we were considering, paid, by the way, as like a paid review about doing it and being completely objectively true.
Yeah,
and just saying this is shit, or if it's not, being like it's fine somehow.
This is a car.
This is potentially one of the cars.
Certainly one of the cars.
I've never experienced. I don't know. Maybe it's just that I'm more aware of it suddenly. But
would you like to know the cars they make?
Oh, go on.
Right.
So it's the Jack what?
The T8.
The Jack T8?
Yeah. They were looking at like a row of Torx bits.
Mm. Went, ooh. I like that, actually.
Ooh, there's a guy called Jack as well.
A Volvo. And they went, I like that engine. That's a big one.
That's nice. Then the T9.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. What is that? Sorry, what are those cars?
They are... Both pickups. They're all pickups.
Oh, they're all pickups. Okay, I'm not sure what I saw.
So they went T8, T9.
Yep.
Is it the T10?
No, it's the Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's that, the Jack Hunter.
I should have known.
Oh, wow.
Jack Hunter.
Don't say that too quickly.
The Jack Hunter. Meanwhile, people named Jack.
Hunter offer traditional gasoline and diesel engine choices with both 4x2 and 4x4 configurations available. Electric options, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Yeah, no, I haven't even seen one.
I saw one and I thought, what is this thing? And I've never seen this many new brands just appear.
They're just popping up.
Who's buying them? Because if it's me as a consumer, I would not go into a shop and go, brand new brand never, no one's ever heard of.
That's quite funny.
But I also think
it just
people,
says Jack on the front grill.
Yeah, that's
I also think there are, the thing is, I think back in like 80s, 90s, and especially before 2000s as well, people bought with what they trusted. You know, you hear even on Top Gear, the whole thing about Tesla saying that it was broken. It was like, I completely damaged the amount of, because people's words held weight.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's so much information easily accessible online. Mm. I think people just go, all right, look, it's probably going to be fine. Someone here said they bought one and it's fine. It's cheaper than most other things. I'll buy it.
Someone wants that. They want the most amount of car.
Yeah.
Not that they care that much about that, but the most amount of car for the least amount of money.
Yep, that's it.
And then a Chinese brand can offer that in absolute abundance, as long as you don't care about your... There's a lot of brand snobbery in the UK.
But exactly.
It scares me. Have you seen the Fisker Ocean fiasco?
Yeah.
For people who don't know, it's an SUV, a little SUV they bought out. Yeah. They had the Fisker Karma back in the day, and they came back and they said, we're making new electric cars, but out of the ocean, sold a fair number of them, but not enough to keep the brand going. Brand went under. Now people are left with cars that are worth maybe a third of what they paid.
And some of them are bricked.
Can't update them.
Yeah.
Can't drive them. No service center. Nothing. That scares me. I would never buy like a car. Even Tesla. Tesla, I probably would buy one. I wouldn't buy one, but I would trust them now because they're big enough. But if a random new brand comes out, I'm not like, yeah, cool.
True. Then. But is that from a point of the fact that it's an electric car or the fact that it's just a brand?
Well, I wouldn't buy one because it's electric. Really,
no, but I'm saying in terms of what scares you about it.
I would go with what I know myself. Yeah. I just think I wouldn't trust, like, because there are that if I'm leasing it, maybe not. But if I'm buying it, yeah, it got me from somewhere that
That was an argument throughout the entire development history of the car. The moment fuel injection came out, people were like, it's too complex. Give me a car. I don't want to deal with it.
Hmm.
It's bullshit. Give it 5 years. Everyone's on board with it. It's fine. There are specialists who understand it. Same with turbos. Same with everything. Same with hybrids.
Hmm.
It's the same. So I reckon the thing is, there's like a bit of a mystery aspect to electric cars that they still, people are like, oh, I don't know. And I don't know. I don't understand how they work. So,
but that's what I mean. I'm scared. There's not going to be like a Fisker specialist.
Electric cars are like the air fryer to regular people. Whoa. Sort of like,
well, best invention of all time.
Well, that's what I mean. Imagine you go to someone, you go, right, this is a car.
Ben's going
to
buy an air fryer. But
I doubt it. Ooh, I doubt it.
You would buy an air fryer.
You would buy an air fryer, though.
I have bought an air fryer. Yeah. It's what I used last night.
You go
wonderful.
To regular punter, regular okay. Joe on the street, couldn't give a monkeys about cars.
Yeah.
Not one bit.
White goods.
And you say, there's a car here. Very good value.
Mm-hmm.
You never have to put fuel in it. Tax is almost nil.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you've got a million year warranty.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you a £9 a month lease deal. It's like,
of course, I understand
this is new age.
Yeah. But for me, I'm.
How do I say no?
I'm scared of them.
Of course, yeah, no.
I don't know it, so I don't. I'm scared.
Fair.
But yeah, I think the biggest thing for Chinese brand, this is sounding like an actual podcast about cars.
I think it's ridiculous.
Is that they have to work out marketing because that is it. The UK, like we said, with the number plates, are huge snobs for cars.
Yeah,
it's the reason why BMWs, Mercs, and Audis are the most leased things.
People, we've talked about it before where people would rather buy a bottom of the range A-class, 1 series, yep. A1, A3, than go and buy I actually don't think this is the majority because obviously Fiestas and whatever, a Polo, whatever it is, are still exceptionally popular.
Yeah.
But many, many people would rather go out and buy a bottom of the range premium brand car than go and buy a Ford or a Vauxhall or whatever it would be, Volvo, whatever, that has less options.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that has all the options.
Every option.
But for half for the price, same price or for a fraction of the price.
It's the same thing with if you look at Skoda, Seat, Volkswagen, Audi. everyone's going to go and choose the Audi. It's the same thing. Yeah. They're built in the same factory by the same people. It's all the same. But people go, I want the Audi. I would like the Audi.
It's nicer.
That's a lovely car.
That's a lovely car. Enjoy your Leon, mate.
Me when I see someone at a service station tucking in some chicken that's quite good.
Didn't know Leon made that, actually.
It's very good.
I've always seen Leon.
Yeah, I've tried it once. It was quite nice.
On the M1. Anyway, merge lane cutoff. I put this in. This happened yesterday, in fact, on my way into work.
Yeah,
well, yesterday morning. I was perplexed. I was annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I was also kind of it was quite funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was. So near me, there's very wide roads for some reason that are single lanes. And then for some reason, they then go into a dual carriageway type thing where there are two lanes. And then eventually it goes down to one lane. There's very rarely traffic there. But for whatever reason, there was traffic just at the merge. And because every human being on the road in this country is a human walking sheep, they all queued up in this one left lane, despite the fact that there is a completely empty merge lane to the right.
And it is merge in turn.
There's big white arrows.
Yeah.
There is a lane. It's a lane. And it's a lane that you can use.
It doesn't say this lane is closed.
No.
It says we need to be, by the end of this, we need to be in one.
You need to get in here.
Yeah.
But instead, people make the longest queue on earth. The queue was probably doubled or tripled in size because of the fact that people weren't using the merge. So naturally, I used the merge. And I thought, I'm not obviously going to be a complete helmet and just nudge in right at the end. I probably would have, but I'm just going to go further up and go in where I think is natural to move in. And I'm driving past cars, looking smugly at them as they looked numb behind the eyes ahead of them. And this Mercedes GL something something, he just pulled into the lane, like on purpose. I could see what.
Yeah.
At first I thought, is he turning around or something? But no, he just pulled into the merge lane and blocked me off. And he made absolutely sure not to look at me. He was like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction. Yeah. So I laughed. So I thought it was quite funny. I've already made my gain.
Yeah.
I've gained 30 to 40 cars or whatever it is.
Do what you will, for I have already won.
You may have won this battle, but the war is mine. And it's just insane. Every day, sometimes I want to think, you know what, nature is healing.
It's in nature's healing.
I see driving and I go, do you know what? People are getting better.
Yeah.
And then I see stuff like that, because that is such a large concentration of idiots.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of idiots in a line.
You know what the best part is? You told me that story yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I went home. And do you know what happened to me on the way home?
The same?
The exact same thing. I was on the motorway, and it was a move into the outside lane, into the fast lane, because they were like, there is
lane one.
Lane one. Because there are, no, lane three. Lane three, into the fast lane. Sorry, let me use the terminology everyone understands. Into the fast lane. Because the two lanes ahead are going to be closed because there are workforce in the road.
Yeah.
Before I could see the sign in the distance saying everyone needs to start moving over, there was already no one in the two left lanes. Everyone's in the right lane.
Yeah. Wild.
And I was like, I'm not doing that. I will be in this traffic for hours.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm not going to do 70. It's set up there 50 anyway. So I was like, let me try and look down to like 30.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna cruise.
Put my hazards on and have a bag of crisps.
meanwhile, Ben in front of the... no, so I was just trundling along in the middle lane now. Technically undertaking.
Yeah.
Fine. If I'm undertaking, I am. Because I'm not sitting in a queue of 7,000 idiots who go, I have to move now. And halfway down, a discovery went... They were rolling along as well, like veered in and out quickly to be like, ooh, to me. So I just went around them and then carried on in the left lane until not the merge. I wasn't at the cones. Yeah. I was probably 300 or 400 meters back. There was a truck who let me in. Fine.
Yeah.
No one died. There wasn't I didn't cause 1700 hours of traffic.
Yeah.
I simply saved myself time and wasn't an idiot.
Have you ever seen workforce in the road?
Now, this is the funny thing. The whole reason they did this, someone was mulching a tree.
Ooh.
I assume a branch had fallen down and they were throwing a tree branch through a shredder.
And just shooting it into the road.
Into everyone.
But I like
some of that.
Well, I see, you know, when you see debris in the road, I can't remember. I think I've seen like pedestrians in road or one of the scariest ones I've ever seen was like vehicle.
Oncoming vehicle.
Oncoming vehicle.
That, yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
So he closed the thing down.
Because they put that, I think, when if someone reverses on the hard shoulder and they put that there, that really scared me one time.
In HQ, they're just going, whoa, whoa! All right, there's someone reversing down the hard shoulder. We need to shut the stuff down.
He's about to hit a J-turn at 40 and start going straight back down.
But in my head, when I see workforce in road, is that there is a point, office. There's a point of the motorway up ahead where it's just a free-for-all.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just cars whizzing by at 70, 80.
Someone's just digging the roads.
There are just men in orange jackets trying to dodge traffic.
It's like Frogger.
Getting pinged into the next lane. And then they go, all right, let's warn everyone.
Kev's gone, mate. We'll send Steve out.
He's on the other side of the road. He's on a lorry to Birmingham. I'm sure it is probably very serious to have that. And I know they say workforce in road or whatever 3 days before.
Yeah.
So that a mile before and you go, oh, I'm going to
plow through. I've heard it from lots of people, but one of my dad's very good mates used to work for the AA for like 40 years. And if I break down, I'll ring someone. I'm not getting out of that car. Because the amount of times he was like, had close calls with people flying past at 90 mile an hour. That far from him laying on the floor.
One thing, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the highways people.
Agency.
I have nothing against you. I have nothing for you. But their ability to throw a cone.
Oh, incredible.
Into exactly where it needs
and
to go.
And the way it like slides a little bit and then stops.
Yeah.
Absolutely
sublime. Like that as a sport, I'm absolutely down.
It's like curling, but good.
But just cone throwing.
Yeah.
You have to be on a motorway.
On the back of the little trailer thing.
But I know if I did that, I'm hitting a car.
Yeah,
the amount of times I've seen someone, they throw the cone and I'm in moving traffic.
Yeah,
and there's a risk here that you skid that cone just a bit too far.
Yeah, and it's going straight
and it's getting pinged back at you. And yeah, so I commend Highways Patrol, Highways Maintenance.
I've never thought about that before. They are great.
Really quite fantastic with the cones. Ben would like to talk about his trousers.
Yes. I would love to talk about my trousers.
You're not wearing them though?
Not currently because they arrived today.
Right.
We got contacted by a brand called Nighttime Vintage, I believe, who provided, well, me, actually.
They sent a DM on Top the Center and said, hi, I see you guys always trashing your clothes. Would you like some jeans? And I replied and said, hi, Will and I wear the cheapest Tesco jeans to Rin. Because he was like, yeah, we sell like Carhartt, like cool, like old workwear vintage stuff. He's like, I can send you out some if you want. I was like, that's very kind of you. We wear the cheapest Tesco stuff to Rin, so we're all right. But we know Ben loves his Ben's from Bristol. He loves his trendy stuff.
Yeah, I like a bit of vintage stuff. My job before Carthrall was working for a vintage company.
There you go.
Stuff.
So this guy has hundreds of pairs.
Yeah, and truthfully, this is genuinely true. The reason that I'm currently, you can't see them, but I'm wearing jeans, like normal nice jeans, is because my dickies, my normal like workwear trousers
I wear. Sir?
Is that your nickname?
Yeah. They're dead. They're gone. Got back from a shoot one night. Tried to take them off the bed. Button.
They just tore off.
Literally, button flew across the room.
Do they look like Spider-Man's, what's it called, face where it's all...
It was awful. So they have sent out a few pairs. So thank you very much. If anyone watching wants some nice workwear trousers, hit them up.
Damn. Okay, cool.
Moving on to just the funniest story of the week. We are returning to an old friend. This is sunglasses saga.
Okay, so a quick catch you up on the backstory. I bought my C55 AMG, which I am finally going to put up for sale this weekend. I swear it. And when I bought it,
sunglasses.
Yeah, no, it came from the Boxster, but it was around the same time. We bought the Boxster from a guy up in Liverpool. The car came down. It had two pairs of sunglasses in it. We joked about it in the video and said, Ray-Bans, look at these Ray-Bans. Mm. The previous owner said, oh, my son watched the video. I just seen that my sunglasses are in the car. They are prescription sunglasses for me. And I need them back. And I said, okay, Barry. What I will do is I will send your sunglasses back. And I think this was on a Saturday. I said, look, I'm not with the car until Monday at the very earliest.
Yeah.
I will try and send them to you this week. We're quite busy, but I'm going to get you your sunglasses back. Thank you for messaging me.
He sold the car with the sunglasses in, by the way.
He left them in.
Anything after this is courtesy.
Exactly. It was literally like, I'll send them back. On Monday afternoon, I get a call from him. I pick up the phone and he's like, yeah, have you sent my sunglasses yet? And also, sorry, the first time I spoke to him, he was like, send them recorded delivery overnight. And he did say, oh, I'll pay for it. But he was like, demanding. He was like, you must send them and you make sure they're packaged right. You know, they can't be broken. And I was like,
you've been blinded by the sun as
if they were this important, you would have taken them out of the car and you wouldn't have realized 2 weeks later. Anyway, I said, fine, fair enough, Barry. He called me and said, you know, have you sent them yet? And I was like, no, look, it's 1 day later. I haven't sent them out yet. I'm at work. I'm quite busy. And he was a little bit shitty with me on the phone, but I was like, eh, fine, fair enough. You know, whatever. 2 days later, I hadn't sent them yet because I was planning to do it that Friday. And I promise I was going to do it that day.
Yeah.
I get a call at like 9 or 10 a.m. and I pick up the phone and the number's unknown. I hadn't saved it. And I go, hello? And he goes, oh, it's Barry. I go, oh, hi, Barry. How are you? And I swear on anything, his response was, I'd be a lot better if I had my glasses. And I lost it. I absolutely lost it at him. I went, listen, Barry, are you absolutely joking me? You left those glasses in the car. They're not yours anymore. They're mine as far as I want them. I'm not dealing with this. Yeah. You're not getting your glasses back. And he was like, calm down, mate. I'm just trying to get my glasses back. So I hung up the phone.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm just not dealing with it. I'm not dealing with someone being rude to me when I'm trying to do you a favor. And what? I'm not doing it quick enough for you. Barry, you clown. Anyway, we did the Mercedes, sorry, the reveal video, and they happened to be in my car. We made the joke in the video. Mm. Everyone was now aware of Barry. I use Siri quite a lot on my phone, and I will often say, call Ben. And I did that. And for some reason, it decided what it heard was instead of Ben, it was Boxster Woman, which was the middleman, the friend of Barry, who we bought the car through. So I started ringing. I went, oh God, no, I quickly hung up. And I got a message very quickly afterwards that said, I assume you missed called me this morning to return the glasses. And I joked multiple times with the guys here about replying with just a photo of me wearing the glasses, saying I've got no idea what you're talking about, or stirring the pot. But I thought, you know what? She didn't really do anything. I'm not going to be mean to her.
This was a little while, not that.
That was on the 22nd of April.
Okay.
To be clear, the glasses, I've got the first message from her saying on the 10th of November. So this is months and months later. Yesterday, we went to go and pick up a car. And as we bought the car, I got my phone pinged. I thought it was Will, who was in the car behind me following me. And I thought, that's what's going on here? I looked out and it said it was a message from Boxster Woman. I thought, what's she doing messaging me? And the message simply reads, where are the sunglasses?
There's no question mark.
There's no question mark just, on it.
It is, where are the sunglasses?
Will and I were joking yesterday. I got texted by Tony Soprano.
With all due respect, where are the sunglasses?
That is a mafia mob boss who is messaging me about sunglasses. So I absolutely love that they are still, after all this time. So you know what? If we get an update on Saga, I will let you know. But I cried with laughter in the car. And then I pulled over, screenshotted it, and sent it to Will. And I put my hand out the phone and went like this. And I could see Will looking at me like, what are we doing? Why are we pulled over and why are you signaling at my phone? I watched Will pick up his phone, look at the screenshot, and start laughing as well. So Barry, if you're listening, you're never getting your sunglasses back. It's not happening.
And why are you using a middleman to?
Also, I didn't block you. I just hung up the phone.
Is Boxterman actually Tony Soprano? And he sent his goons.
He can't be. Yeah.
Is the next step a knock at the door?
Hey, it might happen.
Is he knock at the door?
And I'm going to open them wearing the sunglasses. How can I help you?
It's a crazy one.
That is the end of our anecdotes. Do we have a forum to end, Ben? I think we've done our argument about the camper van.
Yeah, it was a big one, that one.
Yeah, I won that one. Right, forum. Edwin, please explain what the forum is.
The forum is a section that we do on the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast where we allow you guys, the viewers, to comment whatever you'd like on both the YouTube video and also Spotify. You can comment on there. Ask us any question. We will try to answer it the best we can. Benjamin, do you have one for us?
Stephen Rodge. Mate. Almost me, but there is a D in there.
Oh, Rodge.
And when people spell my name with a D, it gets me very upset.
Okay.
Right, forum question.
Someone spells Ben by typing Stephen.
Silent D. Ben. It's a silent D. It's Ben. Before the B and then one after the N as well.
Okay.
So it's the Bend.
The Bend.
what's Stephen's got for us?
Stephen Rodge says, when
That's a great one, Stephen. Anyway, I'm not too sure, if I'm honest. Oh,
yeah, no, that's actually a tough one.
Yeah. He said, who, what, when, where, and perhaps why.
Apologies, I'm allowed to read.
When we asked for people who knew anything about anything, Stephen took that seriously.
He said when.
Stephen says, when you do regular services or any work on a car, what do you do with the parts / fluids? Getting to the point of work on my cars more regularly, but put off as not sure where to dispose of all of those things.
That is a great question. And the answer is, you will have to deal with them forever.
You will either store them like a hoarder,
yep,
and then sell them or just throw them away at some point. You will either slowly drip feed them into your black bin.
Yep.
Or you will just be stuck with them forever.
Ben, your Clio, that's your first project car.
Yes.
After it was done, you had some leftover parts. You said, I'm going to sell them this weekend. Yep. That was a year ago. Where are the parts?
In my shed.
That's
and
the
do you
one.
Know what else in my shed? Oh. All of the old oil from when I did the oil service about 3 months ago.
But oil you can get rid
you
of.
You can take that to
oil,
the tip.
Oil, most...
your drain likes that
recycling,
one.
I don't know what the official name is. The tip, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a place where you can go and pour oil away. Maybe a little bit of coolant as well.
Yeah, there might be a little bit.
There might be a little bit.
Not deliberately, of course.
But there are a place you can get rid of that. I don't know where you can get rid of coolant.
No, I don't really know either.
I normally put it in the neighbor's cat bowl.
An honest answer is, if you're taking a part of your car and it's good enough to sell, put it up for sale there and then.
Mm.
If it's a part that's not worth a lot of money, let's say it's a set of it's not a set of wheels, I don't know, it's a set of springs or, you know.
Like old arms with knackered bushes that are never going to get reused.
Well, throw those, for sure, just throw them away. Do it then. Don't let it sit around. But let's say it's got a little bit of value. Stick it up for sale. If nobody comes and gets it within a few weeks, or usually, if I'm honest, within a day, because if you put the post up in a forum, you'll know quickly if it's sought after or not. Mm. If it doesn't sell straight away, no one's coming to get it, throw it away or give it away free. That's what we like to put it in the forum. I've done it with some E36 parts. I've said, I've taken these off my car. I don't want them. Someone come and get them and it goes very quickly. It's good. Sell them cheap, whatever. Yeah. Fluids and stuff, dispose of them properly. But it's very tempting sometimes to just go, that drain looks thirsty.
They don't make it easy. You can go on if you're in England or the UK, wherever, you can go on like your local council website it'll show you your nearest recycling centre.
Mm.
And then it'll have a list of things that go, you can throw away your cat here. You can throw away this. My old place, which is like Northamptonshire-ish, it said no car parts.
Yeah, mine does the same thing.
So I had a bonnet, just so you can't see it there, but there's a bonnet there, Clio bonnet. I need to get rid. You can't put it in your bin.
No.
You can't take it anywhere else. It's not, you can't disguise it when you go to the tip. And the people at the tip are like, they're like investigators. They go, is that, you're going to throw that in there?
They go, is that a 1986 Honda Civic?
Is that grade 3740 cardboard?
Yeah.
And you're throwing it into cardboard container. You idiot! Why don't you shred it first and eat it? But car parts, it said you couldn't throw away. So in the end, what I did is, because no one would buy it, and I couldn't throw it away. It's a bonnet. Where do you put a bonnet? So I went on Facebook and found a scrap man.
Come and get
the metal. He came and claimed it for absolutely nish.
Also, on that exact point, is a perfect illustration of what will happen. You will get rid of the car part, and then you will immediately need it.
Yeah.
Take, for instance, the bonnet. You tried to sell it. No one would buy it.
I tried to sell it.
You tried to give it away. No one wanted it.
No one wanted it.
You tried to scrap it, which no one would.
Yeah.
You did. And then next month we needed an exact Clio bonnet in that color. And we had to buy one instead.
Yeah. I did a big clear out of stuff. It's good to have. I would hoarding stuff. Sometimes if you have a car that you know you're going to keep forever and having spares for it, not the end of the world. But think about it. Do you need it?
Something I'm going to... this is one of the best tips. My neighbor, who's he's 80-something years old. He's an engineer. He was the first thing he ever told me. Take every bit of hardware off something you're going to throw. If it's a bolt, a nut, a clip that's reusable, take it off. Put it in either box or a drawer. It will come in handy. We have got our bolt drawer. The amount of times that we go, need a bolt, one thread is gone.
Mm.
You find a similar one. It's very good. Other than that, chuck it in the bin.
But yeah, the old bits are definitely... Oil is relatively easy to get rid of. They do get funny about...
Batteries as well, they get... Battery, also, here's something for you. A dead battery, even if it's fully dead, is still worth a good bit of money. You will still get, from a scrap man, between 10 to 20 quid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are always worth some money. Mm. So especially like us, when we have 10 or 15 batteries outside, we always get, whenever people come up, like DPD drivers, they go, those batteries, do you want me to get rid of those batteries? Because they see a pile of 10 batteries and go, that's 150 quid.
Yeah.
I'll take those. So you can sell those again. Scrap merchants will be able to get those.
It's definitely worth looking at your pile of scrap and maybe doing a bit. Because again, like it's like with cats. Not the animals.
The cats
I just said I'd give coolant to. or throw in the bin. instead, also, I'm going to sell it.
Also, yeah, Will is the biggest cat lover here. Oh, so like he's actually, cat.
Yeah. Just, they go great on coolant.
they run great.
A catalytic converter is worth quite a bit of money. But there'll be a lot of people who probably just chuck it out.
Yeah.
Random bits that people chuck out that are actually relatively desirable. So have a look into that first. But otherwise, chuck
your friend is A in Reading.
Is he?
He's actually in Wokingham. He's just come to see my friend.
Oh, Maidenhead.
He's Maidenhead. Sorry, not Wokingham. But what you can do is you can go on eBay, search the part that you have, and then click on sold. It's in the filters tab on the left. If any of you don't know about this, it's a game changer. Let's say you see 10 cars listed for sale for £500 billion.
Mm.
They're not worth that. Click on the sold tab. It'll show you what they sold for. I'll give you an idea of what they're worth.
Not the man on eBay who's had it for sale.
It's one of
months.
One and it's actually worth billions.
This is a door and I want 75 quid for it, despite the fact that every door previous has sold for £7.
Yeah. So do that.
Get rid of stuff.
Good question, Steve Rogers. Good question,
Ben
Steve Rogers.
Isn't that Captain America?
Steve Rogers would be. Steve Rog.
He wants to fly below the radar. Right. I think that is all. We've had our argument.
I think so, yeah.
That's a very nice end to the episode. Nice. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. We will see you as ever next week with episode 33. That's the run. And as always, cars rule everything around me.
Ben's going to go and
block the doctor's dollar bill.